I'll call you back together. That's enough now. Somebody snuck up and turned my microphone off, so this would have been going on all morning. But thank you for that. Gave me time to prepare a sermon right there. So I want to invite you to turn with me to our scripture reading of the morning, which comes to us from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, the church in Galatia. And we're looking today at the fourth chapter, and beginning in the verse numbered 4, I just want to invite you to turn with me to that. If you have that in the Bible that you brought with you today, or one in the pew, or one on your phone, lots of ways to come before God's Word today. Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Would you thank God for the reading of God's Word today? Amen. And would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I don't know if any of you grew up in a church where there was an annual children's Christmas pageant. Anybody grow up in that kind of church? I got to be Joseph one year, as demanding a part as there is anywhere. Had to kneel motionless behind a backlit bedsheet for roughly 2 hours. My own kids being way past this stage, and my grandchildren being just a little too little yet, means I'm just biding my time here till they come of age. And then the camera will be at the ready. It might be why this story caught my eye. The woman who tells of her daughter's school holiday pageant where the printed program read, "This musical was originally written for 15 actors, but has been adapted to accommodate our cast of 206. We know that show, don't we? No auditions. Nobody gets cut. No kid left without something to do. The children dance, they sing, they speak their lines. And somehow, some way, and like 4.5 hours later, all 206 of them manage to grace the stage. How different that is from the productions of our adult lives. Our productions are almost all competitive. Take American Idol, a hit TV show as much for the failures as for the successes, right? In fact, if nobody got cut, we probably wouldn't even watch these people. The excitement being in seeing who makes it and who doesn't. The winner, of course, idolized, means celebrity worship isn't just a figure of speech in this culture. Well, the world may operate that way, but the gospel message, the calling of our Lord's church, is a whole lot more like those geniuses who took a school musical with 15 parts and made room for 206. We take a few loaves and fishes and feed thousands. That church, whether it's it's a potluck or the homeless shelter, we take a task that we could professionalize and outsource and divide it into parts so that everybody has a job. Is it efficient? Well, not particularly. Not if all you care about is getting the job done. But the church cares less about getting the job done than it does about the people doing it. At least when we're at our best, that is. We're not in the efficiency business. We're in the disciple-making business, which means that we want to get as many people as possible getting in on what it means to know Jesus by serving Him, by building up God's kingdom with Him. This is the place where we remember that Jesus came for all of us, not just the star performers, not just the already got it all figured out people. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, the genius of the church, that this is a nobody gets cut team here. We don't even get to choose the other members of the body. Sometimes we wish we could. But isn't it great that we don't get to? Yes, you have to decide to step in, but once you do, we'll find a part for you to play. It means that when I give thanks for Park Avenue, which I do all the time, do I give thanks for this church? And my mind is flooded with all the volunteers, all the co-workers that I get to serve alongside in this place. Some are out front, some are people that you see. Others work behind the scenes, kind of like a stage crew. We may know them only as a part of a greater production. And because there are so many parts in this musical, it will not be a short program. It will last from generation to generation. That's the good news of the gospel, the inclusiveness of God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. See, the Apostle Paul used a great metaphor to make his point, the metaphor of adoption. He says, when the fullness of time had come, in other words, when the time was exactly right, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, those who were headed for judgment because of their sin and their failure, so that we might receive adoption as children. It's what we've been waiting for and singing about and celebrating these past weeks of Advent. God's decision to become one of us, to become one with us, so that every person in this room and every person in this community and everyone in this nation and in this world will have a path to finding a place in God's family. Now, when I read those verses, I can't help but recall one of the happiest moments in the life of my extended family. The day my brother Paul called me from the Philippines, where he has spent his adult life founding and then presiding over an orphanage, the Cebu Shelter for Children. Paul and his wife Marlis chose to forego having biological children so that they might give themselves to the homeless and abandoned children of that profoundly challenged part of the world, one of the poorest countries on this planet, the Philippine Islands. And as the law of the land has it there, when an orphan child turns 16, they become a ward of the state, can no longer be adopted. It means sibling groups have to be split up, brothers and sisters separated from one another, sometimes to live out their lives in two entirely different parts of the world. It meant that for one of the sibling groups, in their orphanage, three sisters, ages 15, 13, and 11, were about to be split up. The meter was running, you know. If an adoption didn't happen really soon, the oldest would turn 16, and the girls would be split up. And so Paul and Marlis looked at each other one day and came to the same conclusion. I guess God wants them to be ours. And so the phone calls began, and I got mine. Hey, Will, guess what? You just got 3 new nieces. Are you kidding me? That's spectacular. What are their names? What are they like? Are you sure? They're going to call you Dad and they're going to call me Uncle Will. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to meet them. See, the Apostle Paul had a word to the Galatians here. It's the Greek word huiothesian. It means adoption. And the way he uses the word is to refer to a transaction that happens in a person's status before God. It means those whose identity has been compromised by sin and brokenness, those whose family has been lost are no longer lost. It means we get to call God Abba, Daddy. There's this new intimacy, a new belonging, a new place for us. God's eternal grace has arrived and restores our orphan spirits to our Heavenly Father and restores that Father to His lost children. But it doesn't stop there. Jenny and Juliet and Nelia, my 3 nieces, all got a new last name that day. They became Healy's. It could not be more improbable. If you look at our family portrait from the outside, 3 beautiful Filipino women, brown skin, none of them hardly more than 5 feet tall. But guess what? None of that matters. They are ours and we are theirs. Healy's through and through. And they make us so proud. We were with all 3 of them on Christmas Day. They do social work. They provide foster care. They are raising families of their own. They are gifted artists, which is amazing. The art thing, not having been in the gene pool for the Healy's. You know. Talk about a bonus. But it's not just a new last name that we get when God adopts us. Even more, there's a promise, one tucked away there in verse 6, a promise that takes us to a whole new place. Paul says that because we are God's children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. In other words, just as God wants to redeem us, to adopt us back as His children, so now He wants to empower us for a life of freedom and joy. It's like that story Jesus told of the prodigal son, the differences between those 2 brothers, the straight-laced, obedient older brother and the rebellious, repentant younger one. But the distinction between them was not their status. Both had status. Both were sons of their father, but the older brother had only that status, never entered into the life of his father, wouldn't even share the welcome home party for his little brother, kept acting like a servant, even though the father wanted him to act like a son. In fact, that's exactly what the father couldn't stand. Sons who acted like servants refused to accept the plea of his younger son to make a servant out of him, instead insisting, bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the shoes, kill the fatted calf, let's party. Because my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and has been found. And what a joyful day that is when we move beyond mere status as sons and daughters and receive the Spirit of the Son. When we start sharing the life of intimacy with our Heavenly Father, that Spirit brings, it changes everything, changes the way we pray. No longer do we come all sniveling in self-contempt before God, like people who got no right to be talking to Him, like beggars who come to the back door for a handout. No, we come as children of the King. No one, we are welcome. It changes our sense of self. It's what so many people who have studied the human condition have figured out about human beings, that the 2 most basic needs are to be loved and to love. The need to feel worthwhile about ourselves and about ourselves in relationship to others and how difficult that is to accept, something that requires an overwhelming grace, a grace to accept a God who knows us completely and loves us completely, a love that frees us and empowers us to love ourselves and to love others. It means we can be vulnerable to each other. We can risk failure. Really? Yes, we can. We can live truthfully rather than guardedly and deceptively. We can even try serving in ways that we have never tried before, because God's love for us is a sure thing, a done deal. And that's what I felt most led to share with you this morning, on this last Sunday of another year, that together we might find ways not just to thank God for the ways we've been walked with these past 12 months, as good as that is, but we might be so bold as to consider what God might have in store for us in the year to come. Might we begin to pray this morning, "Amen, Lord, come what may. I'm yours, willing to be used by you, the God who has sent the Spirit of his Son into my heart." Really? Really. Would you pray with me? Lord God, it's hard for us to believe a lot of the time that you trust us, and yet you do. You trust us, and you have made us your own, and you don't give up on us, and thank you for that. Thank you for not giving up on me, even when I've given you plenty of occasion to do so. And I'd be so bold as to pray on behalf of my sisters and brothers this morning, thank you for not giving up on any one of us. Not a single one of us. So help us, Lord, to step in and live in to this identity you have. Thank you for wanting a relationship with us that's one of such deep intimacy. And I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church. Thank you for meeting us here. In your precious name, I pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. In just a moment, we're going to close our service. There's a celebration that I want to acknowledge today, and it's no small thing. Stan and Joanne Sear are here. They didn't know I was going to bring this up, but they've been married 123 years today. They've actually, is it today? It's your 50th wedding anniversary? I don't know what you were thinking of getting married December 28th, but... Julie and I got married December 30th. It's just like the church is already decorated, right? So I'm going to ask Stan and Joanne to just stand, and the rest of us to give them a little bit of love right now. They have been a testimony to this body of believers, to so many of us. They love this church, and we love the two of you. So congratulations. Stan, did you go with a little more than a card this year, or what are you thinking? What was that? Invite you to stand with me for our benediction today. I want to acknowledge some occasions for prayer as we close our service. We were here yesterday morning for the memorial service of Odom Ray Fly. Some of you know Ray. Ray had circled back and recently found his way here at Park Avenue again after a season away. And he would sit right back there. Usually he had his oxygen tank when he could make it to church. Ray was an usher here, came to know Jesus here in 1982, came out of a really challenged life and found a lot of the joy of living for God here. So it was our privilege and joy to be a part of his homegoing yesterday, and I invite you to hold up Ray's family in prayer in the days ahead. Janie, we're praying for you, the loss of your precious daughter. Just know that we've got you. Your family's got you. I got a text this morning that Phil Berg, we love Phil here at church, and Phil's in the hospital. He's got a little struggle going on. It's getting better, but we want to be sure that we're in prayer for Phil and for Brian and their family. Phil walks with God in a way that I don't even get. He hears God, you know. And if you've ever gotten to know him, you should. So a few things on my heart as we close today. Linda had a birthday yesterday. Linda Ostad, how about that? Her friend Daryl gave me $10 to mention that today. So. Not sure if the check will cash, but happy birthday, Linda. Having to, you know, get doubled up on gifts all those years. So, well, blessings. I could stand up here and just keep going on, but we're going to close this service. Receive now this benediction unto the one who is able to keep us from falling and to lift us up from the midnight of desperation to the daybreak of joy, and from the valley of despair to the bright mountain of hope. To him be all honor and power and glory and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
I can do
all things
through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Amen. And Happy New Year.